Jesus' name. If that meant anything to anybody, just raise your hand. Amen. Come on. I mean, oh, God is good. God is so good. He loves you. Do you know that? He loves you. He cares about you. Amen. He wants you to know that he knows you. Amen. I mean, no, it would be really important to get to know him. Don't you think that's pretty important? Amen. How many are ready for the word? Come on, grab your seats. Grab your Bibles, because we're a Bible church. We believe in the Bible. All of it. All of it. We don't pick and choose. We don't read through our Bible and go, that part makes me uncomfortable. I'm not going to really focus on that part. If you're reading through the Bible and there's something that makes you uncomfortable, that's probably the part you need to focus on. Amen. It's probably because you read something that's challenging you. Right? Hallelujah. How many are glad that God loves you? Hallelujah. He loves you so much. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your direction today. In Jesus' name. How many know we're supposed to live every day like that? Amen. Learning to be led. One of my instructors at Bible College, he always says this. He says, the answer to 1,000,001 questions is be led. Be led, learning to be led. But see, to be led by somebody, you've got to kind of get to know them, don't you? You got to, and how do you get to know people? You get to know them by hanging out with them, spending time with them. See, I know my wife better than anybody because I've spent so much time with her. You could go up and tell her that I said something that I didn't say, and she would probably look at you and go, nah, that's not my husband. I know him. I know he would never say something like that, or he would never do something like that, right? But we get to know someone by spending time with them. Well, the Holy Spirit's no different. Holy Spirit is no different. Who do you think gave us the idea of how to build relationships? It's God. God knows relationships better than anybody. He knows how to build friendship. He's actually the one that put it in the Bible that says the one that has friends must first show themselves to be friendly. He's the one that actually put that in the Bible. Oh, by the way, he's the one that put everything in the Bible. So if you read the Bible and it challenges you in an area, then he's probably trying to speak to you. How many know the Holy Spirit is always speaking? He's always speaking. The problem is we're not always hearing. But he's always speaking. He's always got something to say to you individually. Personally. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, we started a series last week called Knowing Him. Knowing Him. We're in this, in the middle of this concept of knowing Him through fellowship. Knowing Him through fellowship. You can absolutely not get to know someone without fellowship. The more you hang out with them, the better you know them. See, there's a lot of people can be in a room, and I could be talking to a lot of people. I mean, everybody in here, we could all just start talking and chattering, chit-chat, whatever, but if my wife walks in the room and begins to talk, immediately I'm going to know it. Why? Because I'm going to recognize her voice. Because I've heard her talk to me so many times. Because I made myself available to talk to her. And see, if you're married and you never talk, well, you may not recognize your wife's or husband's voice when they walk in the room and start talking. But we've spent a lot of time together, so I've come to know her voice. Are you seeing where I'm going? Spending time with the Holy Spirit helps you to get to know His voice. Spending time with Jesus helps you to get to know Him. Well, what is another way we get to know Him? Through reading His Word. Reading His Word. Spending time in the Word is spending time with Jesus. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word the Word was God. That's what I'm trying to say. Right? So when we spend time reading the Word, we're spending time with Jesus. He is the Word. Amen. And when you spend time worshiping and when you spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit by praying in your prayer language, right, which is very, very biblical. There are so many people today that are so against tongues, so against this Holy Spirit business. But if you're so against that, then you're so against the Word. Because it's completely in the Bible. And I didn't even have to pull a scripture out of context to make it sound that way. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, last week, I'm not going to have you go back to these scriptures. I'll just kind of tell you what they are. Daniel, you can write them down if you weren't here. They're being put online as well. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 in the New King James, it says, but the people who know their God, say, know their God. Say, it's about the knowing. Those people that know their God will be strong and will do great things. Will do great exploits for Him. But it's all rooted in what? Those people who know their God. So we're talking about knowing Him. Getting to know Him. And the more you get to know Him, the more you like it. The more you get to know Him. How many know God is a very likable God? Yes. Yes. Amen. Did you know God is the only God there is? Amen. Well, what about all these other religions' gods? No, there's only one. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. God says, He says, I am the only God and there is no other. There's no other what? Now, the Bible also says that God is all-knowing. So if God is all-knowing, and He says, I am the only true God, and there is no other, then God would know if there was another. God is the only true God. There's a lot of religions claim their own gods, whatever, but there is only one true God. Amen? Aren't you glad you serve Him? Hallelujah. And if you don't serve Him, that can be fixed easy today. We can just introduce you to Him and help you to come to know Him. Glory to God, and you will not regret it. Hallelujah. Amen. But He says the people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Last week we looked at this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, that is why I am... Okay, Paul, and I said it last week, he was in prison, so, and that's why he's saying this, but when he wrote this, but he says, that is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one. You know, people that say they walk by faith, but then they say, I'm trusting God, but no, you just expose how little you know God. Because if you're trusting God, there is no but to it. The only time a but would be appropriate is the devil's been attacking me, but God. The enemy's been after me. He's been attacking my finances. He's been attacking my family. He's been doing this. But I know the one in whom I trust. See, that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I'm not ashamed of being in prison for preaching the gospel. That's why he was in there, because he was preaching the gospel. And he says, I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure. See, when you're sure of something about God, you don't have to ask questions. I thought God was going to heal me. I thought God was going to help me. I thought He would come through for me. That exposes how little you know about God. Now, hey, if that's where you're at, no condemnation. You know what? I used to be there. A lot of us have used to be there, but it's called growing in the Lord. Growing in our knowledge of Him. By the end, you're going to see what growing in the knowledge of God will do for you. Watch this. But he says, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until the day of his return. Amen. Isn't that good? Go to John chapter 17. Knowing him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. In John, John 17. Let's go back over there. Okay. John 17, in verse 3, it says, now this is awesome. Watch this. Now this is Jesus speaking, right? Red letters. Jesus is speaking. He says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know him. What do we get? John 17. Yeah. And this is the way. John 17, 3. And this is the way to know him. Excuse me. This is the way to have eternal life, to know him. Knowing God brings eternal life. Now, let me explain. Now, eternal life, because they say when you accept Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life. Okay, eternal life is not just life that you will have in eternity. It is not just life in eternity that he's talking about. He's talking about when you accept Christ, you receive eternal life right now. What does that mean? That means that eternal life begins to affect you now. Not just when you get to heaven, not just when you step into eternity with God, but it affects you right now. There is a life that God has. We call it the Zoe of God, the life of God. It brings a peace. It brings a joy. It brings a contentment. It brings satisfaction of life. It brings everything that you need. In fact, the Bible tells us over in, I think it's 2 Peter, he says, everything that God has given unto us, everything that pertains to life and godliness. That eternal life helps you to overcome struggles that you've struggled with in the past. Amen. That eternal life helps you to walk in love with those around you. That eternal life helps you to walk in faith, knowing that God's going to take care of everything. That eternal life helps you to walk in wisdom. How many need some wisdom? Three people. Well, Jesus, help us. Everybody in this room needs wisdom. Let me answer that question for you. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know him. Watch this. The only true God and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, how many know we talk a lot about faith around here, don't we? We do, man. I love teaching on faith. Faith is so, so important, right? We teach on the love of God. We teach on faith. Talk about being led by the Spirit of God. But we teach a lot about faith. You know, faith is very important. How many know without faith, you can't even please God? I mean, no, that makes it kind of important. Yeah, thank you, honey. My wife's like, you are raspy. You need to drink water. Hallelujah. And everybody else said, thank you, Pastor Heather. Hallelujah. All right. But in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It's the proof. The Amplified says it is the title deed of things that we hope for. And when we're talking Bible hope, see, there's a Bible hope and there's a world hope. World hope says, are you going to that concert? And world hope says, I hope so. What do you mean? Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to get to go, but I'm really hoping I get to go. That's not Bible hope. Bible hope, there is no doubt in it. There is no fear in it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Bible hope, better described this way, is a high intensive expectation of a thing. It's a high intensive expectation. And in other words, I believe God's going to do it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't even have to see the beginnings of the manifestation right now because I know God's going to do it. Amen. Eternal life helps you to have that. That's part of eternal life. right? But we teach a lot about faith, right? And now if you read, I'm not going to read through all of Hebrews chapter 11 because there's a lot of, it's called the faith chapter, the faith heroes, right? As you read down through there, you will see by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did that. By faith, so-and-so did all these different things, right? But then you get down to one verse and it says, we couldn't even tell you all the things that has been done by faith by these people. But what we see is what it's showing us, though, is each of these different people, they had faith in a different area. Some of them were believing for healing. Some of them were believing for protection in war. Some of them were believing Rahab. But the Bible says by faith, Rahab avoided destruction because she helped the Israelites. So faith affects us in a lot of different areas. Now, let me make this statement. Faith, right, even though faith works the same in every area, in other words, how does faith work? Well, first of all, you got to find out that it's in the Word, right? You find out that it's in the Word, and you say, okay, I've got precedent for it. It's in the Word of God. I can believe God for that. I need healing. Is there a scripture that tells me I have healing? Oh, there it is. By His stripes, we are healed. Okay, well, praise God. I can believe that. I choose to believe. How many know faith is a choice that you make? It's not just going to come upon you and take you over, right? It's not going to go against your will. It's a decision that you make. Love is a decision. Did you know that? Love is a decision you make. What about forgiveness? Forgiveness is a decision you make. See, forgiveness is given, but trust is earned. Now, you may have to earn some trust back in some things, in some areas, but forgiveness is given. You can give forgiveness, whether they earned it or not. But they may have to earn your trust back. But forgiveness is a decision that we make. Love is a decision we make. Faith is a decision that we make. Paul said it this way when he was out there in the book of Acts. Remember, he's in the book of Acts, and he's out in the middle of this ocean. And he says, I haven't seen daylight for 14 days. Massive storm, ships falling apart. But he met with God. And then the Bible says the next morning he got the men together. He says, I had a visitation from the Lord, and I believe God. How many know the circumstances was not coinciding with what he said he heard from God? I mean, it was still stormy. I mean, I can imagine why while Paul's talking, guys might have heard something and looked over. Well, there went another part of the ship floating across the ocean, right? They still see the wind, or not see the wind, but they still feel the wind. They still see the effects of the wind. I mean, the waves are tossing everywhere. All these circumstances are going on, and here's Paul. I believe God. Why? It was a decision he made to believe what God said. Amen. See, sometimes I think we make faith so hard, but yet faith is so simple. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to believe in God. I have decided to believe what God's Word says. But as you read through Hebrews 11 and you read about all these different encounters, I want you to notice something. Each one of these people, where it says by faith they did this and by faith they did that, each one of these people knew God to some degree. They knew God. They knew God. Rahab even believed that God would protect her by helping them. She made a decision to believe. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I made this statement, even though faith works the same in every area, faith has to be developed in each specific area. In other words, faith works the same in every area, but you still have to, in other words, faith for healing is not faith for finances. Does that make sense? So faith for healing has to be developed just like faith for finances has to be developed. And there are scriptures in the Bible that you need to meditate upon to build your faith in each of those different areas. But my point is this. These people were able to do what they did by faith because they knew God. They knew God. See, we're talking about knowing God. Hallelujah. F.F. Bosworth said it this way. He wrote this amazing book called Christ the Healer. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I mean, to stop and think about that right there. If you don't know something is the will of God, there is absolutely no way you can have faith that God's going to do it. Right? And so what we find is a lot of people need to begin to develop their faith in different areas. Amen? Right? All right, let's look at this. I've got a few things here I jotted down. I'll try not to speak too Southern. Okay, you need to get to know God as your healer. I don't know. I just don't know if God wants me healed. You just showed me how little you know about God. You showed me how little you've read the Word of God about God being a healer. Did you know that it is God's will to heal every single person every single time? Hear what I just said. I said that because there have been people that have heard me say that and that they completely misunderstood what I said. So I'm going to make sure it's clear. It is God's will to heal every single person every single time of every single thing. I did not say that you, how many know you do not receive from God based on what he can do? You receive from God based on what you believe he will do. Amen. Some people don't believe he's a healer. So guess what? They don't receive healing. Some people believe he's a provider. Some people don't. So they don't receive based on the fact that, because God is a provider. That's one of his names, Jehovah Jireh. More properly pronounced Yireh, but it's Jehovah Jireh goes better with the song. Right? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Yireh, my provider. It don't rhyme as good, so. But he is a provider. Just because you choose not to believe him to be a provider, just because you don't believe in giving and sowing, and that doesn't change. It's a principle of the Bible. It's still a principle of the Bible, whether you believe it or not. It just means you're not going to receive the benefits of the principle because you don't believe in it and you don't practice it, you don't act it out. I don't believe he's a healer. Well, then don't come to me asking me to pray for you to be healed then. Because you don't believe it. It doesn't matter how much I believe it. Now, if you believe in it and we hook our faith together, man, we can get some stuff done. But you have got to get to know God as whatever you need to know about him. If you need to know him as a healer, you need to get to know him as a healer. He's not just a provider, but not a healer. You need to get to know God as a protector. Do you believe that God can protect you in this crazy world that we live in? Amen. So everybody don't believe that he's a protector. But you can get to know him. Amen. Did you know God is the God of peace? He's the God of joy. He's the God of life. He's the God of love. Get to know him that way. It's about knowing him, getting to know him. Amen? And the better you get to know him, the better life will be for you. The better you get to know him, the more you get to know him, the more you find out about God, the better life becomes for you. Why? Because now you see him that way. I used Brent last week as an example, right? I know him as a plumber. So if I have ever have any plumbing issues, and we have, I go, hey, Brent, we got an issue with the men's bathroom. Because I know him as a plumber, and I know he's very capable of taking care of that, so I call on him for that. What I did find out last week is he's not very good at mechanic stuff. Because he told me, not because he messed anything up. He didn't go out, work on my car, and blow up the engine. But he admitted that, okay, I'm not really big on that kind of thing, so now I know not to call him to work on my car. Right? Here's what's beautiful. God is good at everything. He can fix your marriage. Yes. He can fix your kids. He can fix your job. He can help you to get a job. Right? He can help you to increase. But we've got to get to know him that way. Knowing him. Amen. Go. I'm almost done. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody? I know some of you in here, you kind of already know this stuff, but I mean, no, it's good to be refreshed. It's good to be reminded. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to spend time with him. And I know you've probably heard that for years. I know. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. I hear that all the time. I've heard it for years. Have you done it for years? Right? Because that's where the power is. Have you actually put it into practice? Faith without works, I think the Amplified says, faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. You can say you believe that reading your Bible would help you immensely. You can say, man, I just absolutely believe that praying is a powerhouse for me. But if you don't ever do it, it's not going to do you any good. We've got to put this into practice. And I'm telling you, in the day we're living in, you might want to start practicing. Because you're about to have to step to the plate, and we're going to see what kind of swing you got. Too many times people, I know God, and they're stepping up, but they got a little T-ball bat, a little plastic wiffle ball bat. The devil's throwing rocks at you, and you're hitting them with a little plastic bat. Pink! Pink! The third swing you hit, and it bends the bat backwards. What am I going to do now? Right? Well, what you should have been doing all along is working with a good old full wood bat. Get you one of them titanium bats. And then keep stepping towards the devil till you can hit him in the head. Bam! Right? And that kind of power comes by knowing him. Knowing in whom you trust. Knowing that you are sure that he will do what he said. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. You never heard Abraham go, God, I know you said that, but I know you're a healer, but I know you're a provider, but I know that you're wisdom, but. You never heard Abraham say those things. The Bible says in Romans 4 that he staggered not at the promises of God, but he was fully persuaded. Why? Because he spent time with God, getting to know him. There is no shortcut to a faith-filled life. You cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. Can't do it. But all things are possible to them to believe. Not in this area, it's not. When the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe, it's all things are possible to them that believe what the Word says. You can't believe that you can fly like a bird and jump off a cliff and expect it to just flutter through the air. That's not the way God designed you to be. Right? Amen. Quiet up in here. Where have I got you? 2 Peter? All right. I'll get on over there. All right, glory to God. Let's look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says this, may God give you more and more grace, isn't that, and peace. More and more grace and peace. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to give you more and more grace and peace. So we say, Lord, just give me your grace and peace. Oh, Lord, my arms are like a funnel. Oh, just load me up. Grace and peace. God, are you sleeping? Load me up. I'm waiting. He's like whispering in your ear, go read your Bible. God, just give me grace and peace. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time to read your word. Just give me grace and peace. That's what I need. That's what I need right now. But what does he say? Come on. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you grow in your knowledge of him? By getting in this book. Reading it with an open heart, not a, oh, I've got to get my daily reading in. You know. No, it's not about that. It's about saying, God, I love you. I want to know more about you. Teach me, Lord. Show me. Jesus said, those who are weary and heavy laden, come learn of me. Come learn of me. What are we talking about? Knowing him. Amen. All right. One more verse and I'm done. Acts chapter 17. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says this. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. In him. In other words, by coming to know him, we live and move and have our being. We begin to learn what he wants. Husbands, if you're smart, you spent time getting to know the things your wife likes. Husbands-to-be, if you're smart, you'll spend time learning to get to know the things your wife likes. And wives, vice versa, same thing. Right? Get to know what they like and what they dislike so you can do the things they like and not do the things they dislike. I'm trying to help marriages right now. Come on now. Man, this past Wednesday, I celebrated my 31st wedding anniversary. Wow. Hallelujah. I didn't do it by thinking my own thoughts. Didn't do it. I tried that the first 5 to 7 years, and it didn't go so well. Fortunately, I began to change my thoughts before we ended up having to separate or anything. Because I got her to the point. She was ready to go, dude, you can go. You can just go. But God gave me some new thoughts. Amen? God will give you new thoughts. If your business is failing, he can give you new thoughts. If you're struggling with your kids, he can give you some new thoughts. If you're struggling with your marriage, he can give you some new thoughts. Amen? How many know God's thoughts are better than our thoughts? And he wants you to have them. But you only get them by knowing him. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen? Is this helpful to anybody? Stand up on your feet.